Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. Welcome in. We're Grant and Danny. On this Wednesday, you're listening to 106.7 The Fan. Got a nice little show planned for you. Our pal Rich Tandler from NBCSportsWashington.com on the Redskins at 11. Matt Bowen previews the NFL playoff weekend ahead at 1 o'clock. He's one of our favorite football guests.
All he does is knows and speaks eloquently about football. He's awesome.
Coming up in a half hour, an NFL superstar says he doesn't want his kids to play football. Next hour, all the audio you need from John Gruden being reintroduced as an NFL head coach. He is back in Oakland taking over the Raiders. And in addition to having the worst hair in the history of any press conference between he and his owner, Mr.
It's just
Davis.
A helmet, that thing. Brutal.
How and why, Mark Davis? What are you doing?
I get the eccentric billionaire or whatever the hell he's worth. I mean, good Lord.
Do you remember the movie The Transporter?
Yeah.
Jason Statham.
That's what Jason Statham.
So the girl that he is supposed to transport in that movie.
Does she have that haircut?
No, she does not, luckily. Oh, okay. She's gorgeous, the Asian girl. Her dad in that movie has the worst hair I've ever seen in the history of cinema. And I don't know if it's by design. I don't know if that's the guy's actual haircut. I don't know anything about that dude.
Uh-huh.
But in that movie, his hair, the whole movie,
purposely
like, there are these
bad.
Serious scenes where they have guns pointed at each other.
Does he have a chain around his neck sometimes?
I don't know about that. I couldn't focus on anything other than his hair.
I'm trying to picture it.
All I know is I would be watching this scene where the movie's culminating with this like gunfight, basically. And I'm laughing because of this guy's helmet haircut.
Yeah, there's a forgettable Bond movie. It was the one after Casino Royale that not that many people saw, where there's one of like the co-villains, not like the head villain, but one of like the henchmen had that haircut.
Why?
And maybe the same guy. Maybe like we need a stock villain with a comical haircut.
But John Gruden had
the new
second worst hair at the press conference of a two-man press conference. And he has awful hair.
I mean, that was, we're going to talk about it later on the show, but that was the most over-the-top bit of not. You realize they did like a montage highlight video like he was a wrestler about to come out?
Yes.
Like in a world where nothing good can
happen. Set to music. I mean, how do you have highlight packages of coaches? Like a lot of just him grimacing on the side.
10 years ago, man, we did some things at Tampa Bay.
What?
So we'll get into John Gruden in the 11 o'clock hour. Wanted to start the show, though, with a wizard who is unlikely to make the All-Star team because he's not willing to help himself advocate on his own behalf. Bradley Beal, when the initial voting came out, was listed 9th among Eastern Conference guards in All-Star voting. Got about 70,000 votes. Several of the guys in front of him have no chance to make it because they're either not healthy or haven't played a whole lot or aren't even having decent seasons. But Beal, because of the way the voting's going right now, has become basically a long shot to make the All-Star team in a season in which he is pretty deserving. Now 24 years old, coming into his own as a veteran. He is averaging a career-best 23.6 points per game. I looked it up. Frankly, there aren't categories where he isn't averaging a career-best. Over 4 rebounds per game, over 3.5 assists, over 1 steal. He's getting to the line more often and making more free throws than he has at any point during his career. The Wizards are only 23-17, but he has been the closest thing they've had to a buoy.
He's been their MVP.
And John Wall has said as much. Remember, Wall missed 11 games, and Beal was doing the heavy lifting at that time. But John Wall said, this guy is the most valuable player in our locker room. He should absolutely be an All-Star. Should have been an All-Star last year. He's basically saying it'll be criminal if Beal does not make it. But Bradley Beal continues to say, and there was a great story in the Washington Post, that he is not going to advocate for himself. Here's a quote. I just feel like I shouldn't have to do that just to get votes. My game should speak for itself. I mean, it's not like we're running for president. We just want to play basketball. That's all. If the accolades come, they come. If they don't, they don't. I love that quote. He went even further in a story I was reading where he basically said, if you don't think I'm an All-Star based on watching me play, I'm not going to spend any time trying to convince you that I am. I want him to advocate on his own behalf because I think in today's day and age it's important. But I respect him more for not doing it. This makes me like Bradley Beal, who I already like a lot.
Yeah, I already love Beal.
Even more, dude. I love that he's taking this angle and basically saying, hey, you either see it or you don't. I'm not going to waste any time trying to convince you.
This is good. I'm going to sound like old man River here. I guess it came from an era where you let other people tell you how good you are. You didn't have to do that yourself. And there's a difference between being honest when, like, for example, if you're sitting down with LeBron James and it's, LeBron, how long do you think you'll be the best player in the league? And you answer the question honestly. I think that's fine. Or, you know, do you think you're the best player in the world? I think you can do that. But somebody's giving you the platform. Instead of walking out right away being like, by the way, look at me. Everybody, here I am. Look at me. 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 You could do that without that sort of pandering. I like that. That's where I come from. You know what I mean? That sort of era, that bygone era of let other people give you the praise or give you the criticism or whatever else. And you act like you've been there before. You celebrate with your teammates instead of everybody has to have a choreographed dance for everything and whatever else. To me, it's all part of it's feeding out of the same trough.
I've always thought Beal was old school, and this speaks to that.
That does speak to that. Now, he's having a career best year despite some weird shooting quirks. He's shooting a career worst from three-point percentage, still averaging a career high in points. And that's going to change, by the way. Too many good looks. Now that John Wall is hopefully healthy and getting some of those transition threes where he thrives, he'll be A-okay. But you look at his all-around game as it's evolving, the playmaking, career high in assists, career high in rebounds, career high in steals, career high in blocks, just doing those extra little things. Both ends of the court, he has been their best player. He's absolutely an all-star. There's no question about it. The guys that are ahead of him, guys like Isaiah Thomas, who played two games. It's dumb. It's a popularity thing. Dwayne Wade comes off the bench and averages 13 a game in Cleveland. Nice story, whatever. He is an all-star. He should be an all-star. The problem is there are a bunch of other guys in other markets that are saying the same thing. Kemba Walker can't get a vote. That guy's an all-star. He's been really good in Charlotte. Nobody cares.
So the fact that he's averaging his own career bests does not make him an all-star, to be honest with you. It's comparing him to his peers.
Yes.
Who's he better than? Who's he worse than? That's what should make him an all-star. So if you look at the Eastern Conference right now at the guard position, your starter should probably be, disagree with me if you want to, I would say Kyrie Irving and DeMar DeRozan.
DeRozan having his best season. Those two absolutely should start. Kyrie Irving has been sensational in Boston.
And then presumably you fill out the Eastern Conference All-Star starting lineup with LeBron, who's a clear, probably a small forward on this lineup, but absolutely in the mix. The Greek Freak should be a starting All-Star player this year in the East. And then I would put Joel Embiid as the big man on that starting five.
I'll let you know when you say something I want to disagree
with. Okay, so Irving, DeRozan, James, Giannis, and Joel Embiid. That's your starting five. I'm not even going to attempt if you don't notice his last name.
Antetokounmpo, baby.
This is not a Tua thing where I wrote it out before the show. I don't even go there. So, for reserves, then, at the guard position, John Wall probably more deserving than Bradley Beal. That's one. It's in his own locker room, so I'll put him on the list. I might even give you Victor Oladipo.
You should. He's having a tremendous year. Indiana, all of a sudden, is relevant because of him.
There's not another guard I'd put ahead of Bradley Beal. Now, you give me a couple names that are in the conversation. I'm willing to listen to those. But other bench players include Porzingis, big man, not taken away from Beal. Kevin Love, big man, not taken away from Beal. Probably get Al Horford into the mix. I mean, you could have a guy like a Tobias Harris, someone like that, if you wanted to. But to me, if you're looking at the guard position and the competition in the backcourt for all-star spots, Kyrie, DeRozan, Wall, Oladipo, and Beal. That's the five to me in the Eastern Conference.
So I'll give you a sixth, and this guy should be an all-star, Ben Simmons. Now, because you don't think of him as a point guard, he's their point guard. He's averaging basically a triple-double or close to it. Over eight rebounds, around eight assists a game, scoring 17 a game as a rookie. He has been excellent. So he's a guy that probably deserves it as well. I don't know if I would take him over Beal. You could make an argument probably either way.
Which two do you pick then? If you're picking two guys for three spots, Ben Simmons has been great, and obviously the profile's there as being a top pick. He's averaging about 17 points to go along with nine rebounds and eight assists or so. I didn't realize he was averaging 7.5 assists.
Yeah, he's their playmaker. He is excellent.
Wow, I would have guessed he's averaging about four assists a game.
Yeah, he is a star.
So him, Oladipo, Beal, pick two.
So I would,
unbiasedly.
Yeah, this kills me that I'd have to leave Simmons off in that case, but I would go Oladipo and Beal. But if Ben Simmons makes it and Beal doesn't, that's not something I would cry about. Does that make any sense? Like, yeah. I wouldn't throw a hissy fit. Because I could absolutely have an argument for
both. I think
I would
go Ben Simmons and Beal, and I'd leave Oladipo off. Even though I love the season he's having, I think he deserves it. To me, Simmons is in, and I would give Beal, based on more kind of fringe-deserving effort and seasons over the last couple of years, the nod over Victor Oladipo. But Oladipo is averaging 24.5 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists.
Look at some of the other stats, too. 2 steals a game, a block a game, more in those peripherals than Beal is, shooting an unbelievable percentage from the field. Oladipo has broken out. I mean, he is now, to me, an all-star.
I didn't think he was this good.
I was dead wrong. I thought he was a glorified Michael Petras, a guy that was going to, like, knee you in the thigh sometimes on defense and be gameless. He can play, dude. He's awesome.
So 2 questions here. First of all, do you think Beal deserves to be an all-star? Wizards fans, we'd like to hear from you. NBA fans, there's a lot of you in town that don't necessarily prioritize the Wizards over everybody else. Your expertise is appreciated here as well. 800-636-1067. Where are you at on Beal as an all-star? Is he deserving or not? Should he make the team or not? And then secondly, your thoughts on him basically saying, I'm not going to advocate for myself. I'm not going to take to social media and beg for votes. His agent's telling him to. The team is asking him to. He is unwilling to because he says his game should speak for itself. I find this to be very respectable and a really cool thing, an old school kind of way of viewing the game for a very young player. Danny agrees. Where are you guys at on this? The Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines are open. We'll get into football at 10:30. Rare occasion, though, for some hoop heads to give us a call next. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are on Twitter, if you'd like to get a hold of us via social media.
I'm at Funny Danny. Jumped the gun there. I apologize. You'd think after 4 years of working together, we'd still figure this thing out of not talking at the exact same time. I'm working on it. I'm at Funny Danny. Grant H. Paulson. That is at Grant H. Paulson.
End of an era, Danny. Deuce Gruden is out as the Redskins' assistant strength and conditioning coach. The buffest man on the sidelines. The son of John Gruden had been working for Uncle Jay. He's now going to go work with his father, John, in Oakland, joining the Raiders staff.
I guess I'll miss the occasional picture. I think I'll be fine. I thought everybody focused a little too much on that and, like, got too much of a kick out of it. But I don't think it's that big of a deal either way.
Look at this, though. I mean, just his – what is he doing with his body?
Just making giant muscles.
He's like 5'7 and probably 240 pounds.
Didn't he win
muscle.
Some kind of thing where he was, like, the strongest guy at the thing?
Yeah, I think he did. It'd make perfect sense.
Or was it the best-looking muscles at the thing or the strongest guy at the thing?
I think both of those, probably. But I'm pretty sure it was the strongest guy at the thing.
Right.
He loves lifting weights. I know that. He'll help the Raiders do that now. People were blaming him this year for all the injuries, remember? I think the problem is the assistant strength and conditioning coach, Deuce Gruden.
I don't know if it's his fault. I just know too many guys got hurt. And if you were responsible for that, you probably should go somewhere else.
Bradley Beal is going to go to the All-Star game if he gets what he deserves. That looks unlikely at this point. He's having an outstanding season. He's averaging over 23 points per game. And he's gone from just catching, shooting, and scoring to being a complete player who can rebound, who can get assists, who can be the best player on the floor on nights where John Wall is good, who can get his own shot, who can take people off the dribble, who can get to the free throw line, which he's doing at a rate this year he hasn't at any point. This is what an all-star looks like. Most of the experts around the NBA say he should absolutely be a reserve in this all-star game, but he was 9th among Eastern Conference guards in the voting that came out this past week, and he said he's not going to advocate. He's not going to get on social media and beg for votes.
Good.
I kind of think of the Kirk Cousins quote, which I loved, those who know, know, is basically what Bradley Beal is saying here. If you don't already know, I'm not going to spend any time letting you find out.
He should 100% be an all-star. And Hassan Whiteside has weighed in, agreeing with that, a Miami Heat center that gives the Wizards fits when he's healthy. Everybody knows. Everyone around knows that he should be an all-star.
I think players and coaches know. I don't know that nationally fans know. This popularity contest is not going his way right now.
Fair enough. I guess within the game, everybody knows.
Yep, 100%. We're getting to that point where Bradley Beal is starting to get his respect with the teams the Wizards play, which is way more important than winning the popularity vote.
Agreed.
Let's go to Dan in Fairfax. How are you?
Hey, Dan.
I'm good, guys. And, you know, beautiful name, Dan, Danny. But
well named,
you know,
yes.
My point is that I think he's definitely deserving of a slot. You know, that's what an all-star looks like. But there are enough competition among other people who have similar, or who profile similarly. Like you said, Oladipo has higher stats. And while I think Beal might be a better player completely, if you take Oladipo from Indiana, they're not nearly as competitive as if you had Beal, you know, out for 15 games, in my personal opinion.
And well, I appreciate the call. Thanks,
thank you,
buddy.
Dan.
I don't know that I'd agree with that, because I think your point on Indiana is correct. But you take Beal off the Wizards, they're basically 500 with him playing great basketball.
Especially as
I think they're in big trouble without him.
Especially as you've missed Wall, and even sometimes Wall's been back. You've pretty much had Wall be Wall for half the season. His initial times coming back, the shooting percentages are down, career lows in a lot of spots. He hasn't been this player for a few years. I still think, by the way, that his knee's not all the way right. And some nights it feels good, some nights it doesn't. Beal's been their best player. I'd even argue, by the way, that Beal's more deserving of an all-star spot than Wall is this year, because A, of games missed, B, some of the numbers that Wall has put up, he hasn't quite been himself. Wall's the better player, and I'm not disputing that over the long term. I think it's a health thing. But if I had to pick one of them to be an all-star this year, it would be Beal.
I would pick Wall, and I wouldn't think a lot about it. John Wall's averaging basically 20 points and 9 assists tonight. He's been better. The only case that can be made for Beal, in my opinion, is that he didn't miss the 11 games that Wall did. But I think when they've been on the floor, John Wall has been the better player than Bradley Beal. Let's go to Josh in D.C. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, hi, Bob.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and give my verbal nod for Beal as well with the information you guys presented, the stats, and even the endorsements he's gotten from Wall and other players. Absolutely, get him in there. And I love the idea, like you guys are saying. Danny, I'm your age, 37, so I'm old school thinking too, man. Let your game play for yourself, man. Don't put no videos on Instagram. Don't do the whole just let your game play. I love that idea,
me
man.
Too.
I love it.
It's refreshing, isn't it?
Yes, I applaud him for this. You don't need to put together some Instagram video. You don't need to beg on Twitter, retweet and favorite if you think I should go, if you don't. None of that. Just play basketball. And I don't necessarily look down on the guys doing it the other way, oh, by the way. But I could tell you, if I was up for some award, I wouldn't spend time lobbying publicly. I think it looks bad. I just believe in you're going to get what you deserve if you deserve it enough. And if you don't, then maybe you could have done a little bit more. At the end of the day, as Beal pointed out, and I know that this is somewhat short-sighted, but I agree with him, it isn't that big of a deal, because it doesn't change your performance. You still know how you played. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, to what you said a few minutes ago, Whiteside and players that have to defend you and guys who have to D you up like Victor Oladipo, they know when they play you that they're playing one of the best in the game.
Ask guys that have to check him. They know it's a pain in the butt to follow him over all the screens, all the different moves that he's utilized. He's improved his ball handling, the playmaking stuff. It used to be a catch and shoot guy. You can now run your offense through him, and the Wizards do, as John Wall again has deferred an awful lot. You can watch possessions at a time where Wall brings the ball across half court, waits for Beal to get open, kicks it to him, and goes and stands somewhere else. It's right. Beal's offense at times. He has grown into a bona fide NBA star, and it's been a treat. He didn't get bogged down by what so many Wizards draft picks have of coming here and it's kind of like a joking and hanging out kind of culture and, hey, get better on your own. He has grinded since day one to become the player that he is, playing more minutes than he ever has. Remember, we didn't know these stress fractures or stress reactions in his leg that were precursors to some terrible injuries that they caught. We're like, is this guy ever going to be durable? Playing more minutes than he ever has. And he said the other day he feels better than he has at any point. He has matured, turned into a grown man that is now an all-star. To me, there's no question he should be an all-star.
And if he hadn't been paid big money already, I might say it's more important for him to be an all-star, and I feel worse about this. But he's already got the max contract.
He's got the money.
So it's not as though he needs to be able to attach all-star next to his name to get the money that he's owed, which is the case sometimes like in football. If you are a pro bowler, you might be able to advocate for more coin as a free agent. He's maxed out already. He is making the money that he deserves. Chip is in Burke on the Fan. What's up, Chip?
Hey, Chip.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the call. I just want to second your thoughts here. I 100% agree with the approach that Bradley Beal has taken. And I think this is a guy who walks his talk. And I think this is a guy who has a strong Christian faith. And I believe that this is indicative of the way he lives his life. And just a short aside, last year, my wife and I were traveling from Arkansas back to D.C., and it was at the end of the week of the All-Star break. And as we got to our gate to come back to Washington, I have this habit of always wanting to look around at airports to see if there's anybody I know or any neighbors, because I have run into neighbors in the past in Chicago or Pittsburgh. And so we're at the gate, and here is a tall African-American man leaning up against the wall, He's got a sweatshirt on and he's got his hood on. And I looked at him and I said to my wife, I think that's Bradley Beal. And it would have made sense, and it did make sense because he was not selected last year, so he went home to Florida, and now he's traveling back to D.C. And I think this was Wednesday or Thursday of the break. And I said, when we get home, I'm going to show you a picture of Bradley Beal. And my wife, who's much more 21st century than I, brought up her phone and brought up some images, and we looked at the image, we looked at the person, and sure enough, there's Bradley. And so I said, It will be for sure if we get on the airplane and he's in first class. And sure enough, we got on, and there he is sitting in first class, but with no entourage, with no big persona, with no big deal at all. Here's Bradley Beal in a sweatsuit riding the plane back to D.C.
Keeping it casual.
And I thought that was refreshing, and I think this business now about the All-Star break is just shows you that this guy is pure. And he's content to be the man that he is.
Yeah, he really is. I think he's comfortable
securing
right
his
now
own skin
with what he's become in the NBA. Well said. Good story. Thank you, buddy. And thanks for the calls on this. Let's get into Brett Favre, who was on the radio yesterday and says he'd rather his kids play golf than football. This could be a problem if the NFL's past stars start coming out saying they don't want their kids to follow in their footsteps. We're Grant and Danny. That's next on The Fan.
We are Grant and Danny. Combined, as a Voltron-like force of a show, we have lost well over 100 pounds. Thanks to our friends at EMP 180 Weight Loss. Here's the deal. You got your New Year's resolution, right? Have you stuck to it already? It's never too late. Get yourself to EMP 180 Weight Loss. They will help you. You will be healthier. You'll lose body fat percentage. Your muscle mass will go up. You will look better than you have in years. Grant, I buy pants and shirts and jackets not since the same size that I wore my junior year of high school. I can't believe I'm here again.
Yeah, it's crazy. Call EMP 180 Weight Loss today. Here's the number. Jot it down. 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. Or go to emp180weightloss.com. You set a goal, they will help you achieve it. In 2017, I lost over 70 pounds, and I'm keeping the weight off. They have taught me how to eat. They have taught me how to be nutritionally savvy, and they've taught me how to live a better life. And because of that, I will live longer. You guys should do the same. Go to emp180weightloss.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. Brett Favre was on the Rich Eisen show. He was asked about his grandkids. His kids are mostly grown young adults at this point.
God, I'm old.
But whether or not he would want his grandson to play football, knowing now what he does about the game. Here's what he told Rich Eisen.
I got three grandsons, and if I'm not going to encourage them to play football, I'm not going to discourage them, but I would much rather be a caddy for them in golf than watch them play football. Because, you know, and that's crazy. I mean, people say, I can't believe he would say that. But, you know, head injuries are going to continue. The quality of player is only going to go up. And that means concussions are not going to go down. And so it's a scary issue.
Brett Favre on the Rich Eisen show. The last point he made is one I really have not heard made. I think it is actually a brilliant point. Now, you know how I feel about this. I view football as something that I don't think will go away or should go away.
Correct.
I believe that players are opting in to a game that is not safe, and they are deciding to make a lot of money and gain celebrity and to have a pretty cool lifestyle by choosing to do something that is not probably as good for you, as we know now, as sitting at a desk or working in the field that we do, sitting right here talking into these microphones.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this quite a bit. But I have not heard someone bring up the fact that players are getting better. And the quality of the player is, as Brett Favre put it, going up. So concussions will not go down. What does he mean by that? Well, in my opinion, he's saying the game's only going to get faster because athletes are getting faster.
That's the point.
The game might get less violent every time you take out some of the big collisions and the hits, but you cannot ever remove, by way of the speed of the game and the quality of these athletes, some of the collisions that lead to these concussions. So his point is, they're not going to go down. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I know they're not going to go away. You cannot rid the game of football of helmet-to-helmet contact or any type of blow to the head that leads to a concussion. Have you heard someone bring it up this way like Brett Favre did?
I've heard it mentioned before, but I think it's the point that it kind of gets lost in the sea here, is that these guys are moving so fast. It used to be it was a huge deal if you had a 300-pound lineman. Now high school linemen are 300 pounds. You know what I mean? Like, every college has nothing but 300-pound guys.
It's not just that these guys are faster. It's that they are way bigger.
Training methods have come night and day. I mean, I think about my dad. Just in one generation, my dad's era in high school, they had something called the isometric bar. You know what that was? It was an iron bar that stuck out of the wall. You got underneath it and pushed it. Then you stood over top of it and pulled it. And that was your weightlifting. And then you took a salt tablet. And they probably smoked cigarettes in between. From that to what guys do now, we're linebackers who are 250 pounds, run 4.5s. Everybody's bigger, faster, stronger, and that trend isn't slowing. Eventually, there's sort of the peak of humanity, but we haven't approached it yet. The leaps and bounds of these guys, somebody that was fast back in the day would now be barely register on kind of the speed. Everybody flies around. That's something. Collisions are going to happen. That's something else. To me, the biggest deal, though, in this whole thing that we've talked about, and I know some people roll their eyes at it, but bear with me. Pros will be pros. In other words, the guys that are so gifted that, and this is my way to do it, that bargain is always going to get made. Where I think the game will truly be affected, and I'm with you. I think that the hand-wringing and how the football's going to be gone in 10 years. No, it's not. Settle down, Mark Cuban. Settle down, everybody else. It's going to be around. The difference to me will be at the college level, the high school level. That's where you'll see it. Guys that can really play this game will still be able to really play this game. But the guys that now, you look at that Boston University study, 99% of the brains that they measured, that they examined with the NFL players had the CTE, either a mild to severe case. 90% of the college players did too, guys that only played in college. That's the one. So for someone like me, right, that was just an okay Division I college baseball player who wasn't going to be able to play pro baseball, if you switch that to football, if I knew that I'd have a great chance at brain damage, maybe I don't play college baseball. Maybe I don't do it. Because all of a sudden that bargain, I'm only going to get to play for 4 more years, then I got to live the rest of my life. That's a bargain I think people are going to start to reconsider at like the mid-levels of Division I, 1AA, Division II, Division III. The hundreds and thousands of kids that go do it may not be as invested anymore.
Grant and Danny reacting to the comments of Brett Favre on the Rich Eisen Show. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines available for you if you want to hop in at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Also, interesting to me here was that Brett Favre said he was not going to encourage and he was not going to discourage his kids from playing football. Not going to encourage them just means he might not encourage them to do anything. You don't want to guide them. But I do think it's important that he's not going to keep them or discourage them from playing football. Because you've heard people come out and say most of them are not former players or former greats like Favre, who's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But the idea being that if you say, my kid won't play football, you're not going to allow them to because you're going to protect them. He's not going to do that, which tells me, even though he understands concussions are going to happen, they're a part of the game, he doesn't necessarily view football as like a game that shouldn't be played. Does that make any sense?
Right.
When he says, I'm not going to encourage them to play, but I'm not going to discourage them from playing. To me, I think this is a guy who's thinking about the game the way players are going to start, which is, if you play, this is probably going to happen. That's something you have to opt into. In the same way that you opt in your life for various obligations and tasks and jobs that put you in jeopardy. Sometimes you get paid more to do them. You want to be a window washer? I hope you get paid pretty well, but you're going to be outside of that window 14 floors up. Mm-hmm. That is a dangerous job that not everybody wants to do. But he does say, the money quote that's going around the country today, I'd rather be their caddy. I'd rather them play golf. Here is my question, Danny, and this is what ideally we'd like to take some calls on, I know. what kind of damage would it do to the league's reputation, do you think? And what kind of problem would it create for the NFL if there is a growing trend of and a big group of former greats, Brett Favre level quality players,
Hall of Famers,
who were, you know, one of the four or five best players of their era, let's say, come out and tell you that with their kids, or if you're Favre's age at this point, and he had kids young and they've had kids young, now you start to have grandkids, they don't want them playing football. Because I think if you're Roger Goodell, if a fan who's wearing a Jaguars jersey this weekend watching the playoff games says in Florida somewhere, my kid's not going to play high school football next year, that's not a great thing for you, but you'll deal with that. You'll live with that. If Brett Favre comes out and says that, or ultimately Aaron Rodgers comes out and says that, or a past great like a Jim Kelly, or name the NFL player who you loved for a long time, Champ Bailey, a cornerback, comes out and says, my kid will not play football, doesn't that deliver a more damaging blow to you if you're Roger Goodell and to your product? Let's get into that next, and we'll take calls and get some reactions to Brett Favre's take. Again, via the Rich Eisen Show. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. This is clearly a bad look for the NFL. What would it lead to? How big of a problem would it create if stars start to do this in more numbers like Brett Favre did this week? You're listening to The Fan. So last night, the Capitals gave out those what they call bomber hats, the tri-fold kind of hats with the flaps that come down over the ears.
I love those things.
They look amazing. I'm working still on getting myself one.
So comfortable looking.
They look great. But they didn't give them out until there were 10 minutes left in the third period. So normally when they do a giveaway, a promotion at Capital One Arena.
Oh, it's like as you're walking in.
Absolutely. Yeah. You walk in, you get your Holtby bobblehead or what have you. Last night, for whatever reason, they made the announcement before the game, they'd be giving these out starting at 10 minutes left in the third period as you left the arena. So there were a couple theories as to why that was. You know, somebody said, well, maybe the shipment didn't get there in time. I doubt it. They knew for weeks on end when that date was going to be. The other thing that I heard that makes some sense is, well, if you give them out at the beginning of the game when people walk in and someone gets a hat trick,
then they're thrown on the ice.
Then there's several thousand of them thrown on the ice, and that's not good for anybody. Okay, maybe. But somebody tweeted me yesterday during Caps Overtime, which I was hosting on NBC Sports Washington, and they brought up how the Nationals do it, which is with some of the bobbleheads and some of the bigger kind of things that they do, they don't give them out until you walk out sometimes in like the seventh inning or later either, because they don't want people to buy several tickets, walk in, get one, walk back out, get another one, which I thought made a little bit of sense. But why would the team actually care if you're buying the tickets? If you, Danny Ruye, buy four tickets and then you get four Trey Turner bobbleheads and you put three of them on eBay, they've sold. The whole point of the promotion is just to get people tickets. To buy tickets.
Yeah,
why do they
also
care?
They also want you in the stadium. It's better for you to be in the stadium than not be in the stadium, because there's a chance you buy something else. There's a chance you buy a soda or a delicious meal.
Okay, but if you bought all four of those tickets, do you know that the other three are going to get sold anyway, or might they just go unused?
I don't know.
Buying them that day.
Yeah,
so the chance now of walk-up is smaller than weeks in advance.
Right. The point of the promotion is to get people in the ballpark. They want people in the ballpark. So we've now seen that there are these bobblehead whores, or whatever you want to call them, that are just so desperate for trinkets that they show up and get them and then leave. You want to prevent that. The idea is to get people in the stadium for as long as possible. That's what you want. That's why they want restaurants around the stadium. It's why stadiums open hours before the game starts. They want people in the stadium. So I guess I get that. It's to counter these various phenomena, these little
Would you always give out the promotional things on the way out there?
100%.
You would?
100%. I said when the game's over. Last pitch, you get yours.
I thought about this.
You don't get it before the last pitch.
If you wait until the very end of the game.
Now you can get it.
You get it. The problem is, I wonder how many people would just come halfway through the game then that are your, what do we call them, promotion pigs?
Piggies,
or something?
Yeah, little piggies.
I mean, are they just going to show up in the fourth inning for their Daniel Murphy bobblehead?
That's fine, too. You know, I'd be such a stickler about it. I'd be like, well, if your ticket is scanned, then it's not, you know, before the top of two. If you're not in your seat before top two, you don't get the bobblehead, and you have to get it, and you have to wait till after the ninth.
Seems like a lot of work for your staff.
It's a lot of work.
Seems like long lines to get your items as people are fact-checking when you got
That's
there
what
and
I want.
When you're leaving.
Because I want people to care about the sport. Less about racing the presidents, or less about T-shirt guns, and less about what song gets played or whatever. Less about waves, but sports.
Are you going to slam the gates and lock them at first pitch? So if you're not in there, you don't get your bobblehead?
No, because sometimes the Metro runs slow. Sometimes it's hard to park. people's schedules, it's difficult. It's difficult to get downtown at 7 o'clock every time. If you're a couple minutes late, I get that. This isn't your job. But get yourself to the stadium.
The Nationals promotional calendar came out this week. Max Scherzer eye patches caught my attention. Pretty cool idea. I'm a sucker for quality giveaways at stadiums. Back to Brett Favre, though, before we get to the Redskins in 10 minutes with Rich Tandler, who's going to join us at 11 o'clock for the latest on the Skins. What's going on out in Ashburn? Could be some rumblings on the coaching front. Last 24 hours, a lot of moves with assistants being fired, teams moving on from coordinators. What is the first big domino to fall for the Redskins and their coaching department? We'll talk to Rich Tandler about that at 11 a.m. in terms of the coordinators under Jay Gruden. But this is a bad look for the NFL. Brett Favre on the Rich Eisen Show.
I got three grandsons, and if I'm not going to encourage them to play football, I'm not going to discourage them, but I would much rather be a caddy for them in golf than watch them play football. Because, you know, and that's crazy. I mean, people say, I can't believe he would say that. But, you know, head injuries are going to continue. The quality of player is only going to go up, and that means concussions are not going to go down. And so it's a scary issue.
Certainly is scary. Brett Favre has been doing some coaching at the high school level, so it's not like he's turned his back on football. He's not one of these guys, I don't think, involved at this point, to my knowledge, in a lawsuit or anything like that. But he says he'd rather his grandsons play golf than football, and that he doesn't think the concussions will go down because the game will get faster and the players will get bigger, which makes a lot of sense. My question, though, Danny, is if you're Roger Goodell, is it time to start preparing for some of your best ever saying things like this, and how are you going to combat it?
Maybe I've got a cynical view of this thing, and this is going to be morbid for a second. Junior Seau, Dave Duerson, these guys, in the name of brain injuries and preserving science and knowing that something was wrong with them and it was caused by football, took their own lives. And more money's been made than ever, more ratings than ever. Nothing slows down this train. I don't think comments from guys like Brett Favre are going to stop people from watching. I don't think it's going to really affect the league. They're hand-wringing over it, over the concussion issue. But I think it's one of those, if you're in, you're in. The game's not going anywhere. I'm not saying you don't worry about it. You try to make your players safer. You do whatever you possibly can to, you know, whether it's change the rules and force these hits that you're trying to legislate out of the game, improve the helmets. I think that still, by the way, is the biggest frontier that needs to happen. That's got to change. So you keep working at it, but I don't know that these comments are going to be the thing that keeps him up at night. Am I off base there?
No, I don't think it's going to keep him up at night, but I just think it matters a lot what the former players of the game say and do to the Shield. I think that they care about, maybe more publicly than actually behind the scenes, where Roger Goodell could go, oh, Brett Favre said, blah, blah, blah. I think publicly they have to pretend, because those guys that paved the way for the players now, that what they say matters a lot. And I do think that's going to hit a lot closer to home. Now, you're right about Junior Seau. You're right about Dave Duerson. But I would make the case that when you say the train hasn't slowed down, that it has slowed down. Now, we keep talking about the TV ratings and whether they're up or down. And look, I don't think TV ratings are a problem. Everything is being watched less.
Yeah.
Because everybody is watching TV less. But if the TV numbers dwindle in any capacity, and they have started to, eventually the TV contracts might dwindle also. If less people are going to be watching Fox and CBS and ESPN and NFL Network to get their games, then those networks are going to start paying a little bit less, which is where all the money comes from. So I don't think I feel the same as I did 5 years ago about the NFL being completely untouchable. I think that it's going to exist forever, as long as you and I are alive, certainly. I think it's going to continue to grow in its popularity, probably. And it's just going to be cyclical in the way of how we watch it changes. But I'm not sure that we're going to have a year where the money doesn't jump forward massively, where the cap, which seems to grow $10 million every year, is not going to spike that exponentially. And I think that all these little things do matter. I always refer to it as a stew. And we added an ingredient with each time that a player like Chris Borland, who only played for a year and then retired, steps away. Just like we add an ingredient every time one of these Hall of Fame players comes out and says, man, I hope my grandson doesn't do what I did. Because it means that Brett Favre's life right now has enough negative football results that he doesn't want his grandkid to go through that.
So I always look at what's going on in a league or a sport relative to competition, right? So relative to competition, the NFL still had 37 of the 50 highest broadcasts. You touched on it. Everything went down. So not everything went down because of concussions or because of the presidential race or whatever. Right. People were just watching stuff less. Relative to the other things out there, football was still king by so far. It's
of
not even close.
Which is not what I'm arguing. What I'm saying is if your 25 shares become 17 shares, at some point on the next negotiation, I'm not going to pay more than I used to.
Right, which I understand. But I guess my view of it is you still have that stranglehold on whatever market's available. It's still yours, and you still own it. And that's what hasn't slowed down despite all the hand-wringing and people being very upset about a myriad of things, whether it was domestic abuse, whether it was brain injuries, concussions, whatever it is, the NFL still rules all things.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Next, there are coaches, offensive, defensive coordinators, special teams coaches around the league losing jobs, moving organization to organization. The Redskins have still been very quiet on the coaching front. Jay Gruden hasn't yet publicly committed his coordinators moving forward. What's going on? We'll ask Rich Candler next right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.